You are listening to Radio Maria Canada, a Catholic voice wherever you are.
I've got no regrets. I wouldn't change a single day.
Good morning, a happy blessed afternoon, and maybe a good evening to all our wonderful listeners here at Radio Maria Canada. We thank you so much, blessed listeners, for tuning in to us each and every day, and thank you for tuning into our program here on the Father's Quilt. I'm your host, Christina Doyle, and it's 1 month away to Christmas. Oh my gosh. And here in Toronto, Ontario, Canada, the sun is shining. There's no snow on the ground, and we're almost going to reach a high of 14 degrees Celsius, which is just about close to record-breaking. I think it was either 17 or 18, but I don't know how many years ago. But anyways, let's begin our beautiful program with a Hail Mary. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. And amen, because without our Blessed Mother, we wouldn't have this beautiful rosary that we come to know and love and pray with. And you know, today, blessed listeners, today more than ever, the world is in dire need of prayer and meditation. And it almost seems that some people have forgotten all about God. And without the world, without God, this whole world would be on the edge. And it is. And that's why in her messages, Our Lady insists so much on prayer. And without God's help, you know who wins. The world is in need of meditation because it is the great Christian truth. The rosary is one example of that important place that prayer has in our Christian life. It gives us hope and a reason not to fear the future, because we believe in a God who answers our prayers. And how do we know this? Matthew's Gospel, it tells us that Jesus said, "Ask, and it will be given you. Search, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened for you. For everyone who asks receives, and everyone who searches finds. And for everyone who knocks, the door will be opened. Is there anyone among you who, if your child asks for bread, would give them a stone? Or if the child asks for a fish, and you give it a snake? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good things to those who ask him?" You know, in our fight every day against evilness, it is easy to get overwhelmed and discouraged, and when we're surrounded with darkness, and it seems to be only getting deeper and deeper, and its powers more forceful. That's why it's so important to recall the mighty power of our God in prayer. The rosary is more than a devotion to Our Lady. Those beautiful beads that I'm holding in my hands and the chain of the rosary are a reflection of our character and our hope. Catholics are buried with rosaries, wound carefully among their folded hands. There is no greater symbol, my friend, than this of the primacy of the rosary that it has in the canon of Catholic devotion. And we as Catholics, we know, we do not merely believe, we know that the rosary is the most powerful recitation we can make when we desire a miracle or some other grace from God. And by reflecting on our Most Holy Mother's experiences and the life of Jesus, we become more like the woman who bore all things for the sake of obedience to God's will. So when you find a new rosary for a new life of devotion to our Holy Mother, we can say, Holy Mary, Mother of God, knew the loss of her only child at the hands of unjust executioners. Our Blessed Mother witnessed the sick and the dying, and she asked Jesus to perform miracles, which he obliged his mother. We know that Mary retains this respect. So by asking for her intercession with Jesus, we too can change with God's will. Remember Sister Lucia of Fatima told us that there is no problem, I tell you, no matter how difficult it is, that we cannot solve by the prayer of the Holy Rosary. And with the Holy Rosary, what happens? We save ourselves. We save ourselves. We sanctify ourselves. We can console our Lord and obtain the salvation of many souls. We know this and believe this is true. And what harm has the Rosary ever done? None at all. Yet how many graces have we witnessed as a result of its recitation? Can we even complete the list? It's unbelievable. Our Blessed Mother said, the Rosary is my power. It is the weapon which you must make use of in these times of the great battle. And the battle, we can see the battle around us, can't we, our friends? We can see the battle, whether it's hunger, whether it's poverty, the threat of war, the threat of anything that's evil and against God's holy will. We can see it. But with the rosary in hand and prayer to our Blessed Mother, we have great strength. Our Lady has shown us that the rosary can stop wars. In fact, our Blessed Mother has said that we can do more in one day of intense prayer, than years of discussion. Can we, her children, help Our Lady mount a massive worldwide prayer and fasting campaign and include masses of reparation? Of course we can. If we don't deal with the arrogance and the moral sins of mankind, especially sins of the flesh. Many believe our days are numbered. Civilizations have not repented from this moral decline. So we're surrounded by plagues and catastrophes and wars. And it hadn't changed even back in the days of the Roman Empire, in the time of Noah and Sodom and Gomorrah. And Nineveh was spared because they prayed, fasted, and repented. And our Blessed Mother has told us that prayer and fasting stops wars and natural catastrophes. I spent some time just looking at the historical victories in prayer from the Rosary. And, you know, dear listeners, they're documented. They're there for you to see yourself. It's just unbelievable. I just throw out a date to you. October 13th, 1960, after Pope John the 23rd called for prayer, 1 million pilgrims in Fatima held an all-night prayer vigil before the Blessed Sacrament. The next day, October 13th, 1960, an accident destroyed a new Soviet missile, killing many top scientists and setting back the Soviet nuclear arms program by at least 20 years. Rosary Miracle Hiroshima, 1945. There was a home 8 blocks, about 1 kilometer from where the A-bomb went off in Hiroshima, Japan. And this home had a church attached to it, which was completely destroyed. But the home survived. And so did the German, the eight German Jesuit missionaries who prayed the rosary in that house faithfully every day. It just goes on and on. There's even one here that I found, and I will share it with you. It was from the protection of a serial killer. Ted Bundy was one of the worst serial killers in history. And on the night of January the 15th, 1978, at 3 o'clock in the morning, Bundy murdered two little girls in Chi Omega sorority house in Florida State University. And he entered a third room. But he fled when he saw a girl clutching a rosary in her hands. Later, the girl explained that she had promised her grandmother to pray the rosary every night before she went to bed, even if she fell asleep while praying. Years later, when Bundy was awaiting his execution, he asked for a priest. The priest, Father Esper, asked him what happened that night. And Bundy said he intended to murder the girl, but some mysterious power prevented him. You know, I hate to bring something so horrid as that, but I'm just trying to have us, all of us, realize the power of these beautiful beads, the power of the rosary. You know, there's been the fall of corrupt and evil governments around the world. In the Philippines, the corrupt Marcos regime was defeated entirely through peaceful means in 1986. So while their leaders were living in luxury, the Philippine people were starving and sought to elect a new leader, Benigno Aquino. After the Marcos government assassinated him, 1 million people signed a petition for his widow, Corazon Aquino, to run in his place. A false, corrupt, and violent election declared Marcos the winner as he took control of the media and sent out thousands of tanks to quell the unrest. And Cardinal Sin of the Archdiocese of Manila called on all the people to peacefully protest the injustice. Thousands went among the soldiers and the tanks, praying the rosary and singing hymns, while holy mass and vigils took place in churches. The prayer for protest lasted not quite a week when all the armed soldiers left their tanks and peacefully joined the protesters. There are countless other miracles that could be taken from the prayers of using the rosary. We have power of God with us, my friends, and within us, and our prayers will not go unheard. We have to hold fast to that knowledge that God is really, truly present in the Eucharist, and He is infinitely more powerful than Satan and all the forces of evil in the world. And sometimes He does allow terrible things to happen, just as He allowed His only Son to die on a cross to save us. But He allows it only if it will bring about infinitely more good to us than if it had never happened. So let us pray for the conversion of hearts of those who are instigating this black mass, for God does not desire the death of the sinner, but rather that he be converted and live. Tens of thousands united in prayer and fasting are seeking to destroy evilness, and that in itself is a miracle of faith and a beautiful manifestation of the power and the glory of God. So as we remain united and continue to pray and fast, let us call to mind these miracles of the past and rejoice that God's power will be made manifest and many hearts will be converted. Let us not get discouraged when we're faced with such evil things. For the Lord your God is the God of gods, the Lord of lords, the great God, mighty and awesome, who gives us strength and mighty weapons at our disposal. I cannot forget the most wonderful, oh my gosh, the most powerful, and every time I read it and every time I think about it, I'm just more and more empowered with God's wonderful love and strength. And it's the story in Daniel, and I've got my Bible out here in front of me, Daniel 3. And you probably already know if you're familiar with it, which once I'll explain it to you, but Daniel 3, the steadfastness and the faith of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego to King Nebuchadnezzar when confronted with certain death in the fiery furnace. Remember? Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. When I read this of how they were sent, because I will tell you, in common time, during the time of King Nebuchadnezzar, I always have trouble with his name. You know what? How about we call him, I don't want to disrespect him, but King N built a huge golden image, okay? And he commanded all the people to fall down and worship it whenever they heard the sound of his musical herald. The awful penalty for disobeying the king's order at that time was announced. Anyone who failed to bow and worship the image would be thrown into an immense blazing furnace. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were determined to worship the one true God only, and thus were reported to the king. And courageously, can you imagine, they stood before him as the king pressured the men to deny their God. And they said, "We have no need to answer you in this matter. If this be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of your hand, O king. But if not, be it known to you, O king, that we will not serve your gods or worship the golden image that you have set up." And so, of course, when the king hears this, he's absolutely just outraged, furious. And so he orders the furnace to be heated at least 7 times hotter than normal. And at that point, they were going to be bound and cast into the flames. And the fiery blast was so hot that it killed the soldiers who had escorted them to the furnace. But as the king looked into the furnace, he marveled at what he saw, and quote, "But I see 4 men unbound walking in the midst of the fire, and they are not hurt. And the appearance of the 4 is like the son of the gods." And then the king called the men to come out of the furnace, and with not even a hair on their heads singed or the smell of smoke on their clothing. And needless to say, this made quite an impression on the king, who declared, "Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angel and delivered his servants, who trusted in him and set aside the king's command and yielded up their bodies." Through God's miraculous deliverance, that day, the rest of the Israelites in captivity were given freedom to worship and protection from harm by the king's decree. The fiery furnace, my friends, was not a small household oven that we have in our kitchen. It was a huge chamber. It was used to smelt minerals or bake bricks for construction. The death of the soldiers who escorted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego proved that the heat of the fire was not survivable. One commentator reports that the temperatures in the kiln could reach as high as 1,000 degrees centigrade. The king probably chose the furnace as a means of punishment, not only because it was a horrifying way to die, but because it was convenient. And the immense kiln would have been used in the construction of the statue itself. And yet, even threatened with death, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego would not compromise their beliefs. And so, who was the 4th man that the king saw in the flames? Whether he was an angel or a manifestation of Christ, we cannot be certain. But that his appearance was miraculous and supernatural, we can have no doubt. God had provided a heavenly bodyguard to be with those 3 men during their intense time of need. God's miraculous intervention in a moment of crisis is not promised. If it were, believers would not need to exercise faith. But Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego trusted God and determined to be faithful without any guarantee of deliverance. And in the face of death, could you and I boldly declare, as these three young men did, whether God rescues me or not, I will stand for him. I will not compromise my faith, and I will not deny my Lord. And in the Bible, in Daniel 3, the most beautiful, it's the prayer while they're in the furnace. And as I quote in the Bible, they walked around in the midst of the flames, singing hymns to God and blessing the Lord. Blessed are you, O Lord God of our ancestors, and worthy of praise, and glorious is your name forever. For you are just in all you have done. All your works are true, and your ways right, and all your judgments are true. Dear blessed listeners, it is so important that we understand why this beautiful rosary is so powerful. It is the remedy against evil. Pope John Paul II said, pray and ask for nothing else. Put everything in the hands of the Mother of God. We must be prepared to undergo great trials in the not-too-distant future, and trials that will require us to be ready to give up even our lives as a total gift of self to Christ and for Christ. And through your prayers and mine, it is possible to alleviate this tribulation, but it is no longer possible to avert it. It is only in this way the church can be renewed. Sister Lucia, one of the visionaries of Fatima, said, the Most Holy Virgin in these last times which we live has given a new efficacy to the recitation of the rosary to such an extent that there is no problem, no matter how difficult, whether temporal or above all spiritual, in the personal life of each one of us or of our families that cannot be solved by the rosary. Do you feel better just hearing that? I hope so. The saints say it. The popes say it. The rosary is a powerful weapon. It engages your will. The human will is powerful because it is a sharing in God's power. He gives us the will to choose to do good or choose to do evil, and that will in itself is a powerful weapon in the spiritual realm. That's why Satan wants to enslave us and incapacitate our will through addiction, drinking, stealing, lying, cheating, overeating, undereating, when our spending, when our will is joined with God's will through prayer, we literally tap into God's own power source. God gives us body and soul, angels, and this includes demons, are purely spiritual creatures. They have no physical form and therefore inferior to us. When we pray the rosary, we use our body. We hold the rosary beads, which includes a crucifix. If possible, we should adopt an intentionally physical posture for prayer, either walking, kneeling, or sitting attentively. And we should also use other physical sacraments like blessed candles, holy water, maybe some incense and holy pictures or statues when we are praying. God not only gives us our body, but he gives us our speech. We have vocal cords and breath to speak and sing. We should pray the rosary out loud. This engages our physical body and intellect. Satan hates the rosary. He hates Mary. He hates the gospel. He hates God. He hates Christ the Lord. He hates the Lord's Prayer. He hates the Hail Mary. And he hates you and me. But every time you pray the rosary, because of what I've just told you, you are entering the territory that he wants to claim as his own. He wants control over your will. You take that from him. He wants control over your speech. You take that from him. He wants control over your imagination. You take that from him. He wants control over your emotions and your earthly life. You take that from him. Pray the rosary for spiritual warfare. This amazing thing about the rosary is that God does his very deep healing work in individual lives and in the world. There's no need to be having psychoanalysis or counseling for most people. Instead, ordinary men and women, boys and girls, can simply pray the rosary. All these good things will happen even when they are unaware. It doesn't matter who you are, a professor, a peasant woman, a child, a busy mom. Billions of Catholics all can pray the rosary. So stop complaining and get busy praying. All right? So if I've made my all call, realize the power in your hand with your rosary. You hold the power of God, my dear friends. If you do not recognize the rosary, can you expect to be recognized by God? So say the rosary clearly, distinctly. And when you're sitting with a leader, let the leader speak first, then you respond, right? And when you pray, Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now. The Blessed Mother comes instantly to your side to pray with you. And she does not come alone. She comes with angels. And she's not just one or two. She is the Queen of Angels. So choirs of angels come with her. And she and Jesus are joined at the heart and they cannot be separated. And so she brings Jesus with her. And Jesus cannot be separated from the Trinity. So he brings the Father and the Holy Spirit with him. My dear friends, I pray that you pray the rosary. I hope that you see how beautiful, how important, and how much healing power is in the rosary. And you must trust God and the Blessed Mother to intercede for us. Those of you who are faithful to recite the rosary shall have during your life and their death the light of God. At the moment of death, they shall participate in the merits of the saints in paradise. The Blessed Mother says, there's 15 promises, you've all heard them, right? She promises to deliver from purgatory those who've been devoted to the rosary. The faithful children of the rosary shall merit a high degree of glory in heaven. The rosary shall be a powerful armor against hell, and it will destroy every vice under the sun. Dear listeners, our time is gone, and I just pray that together we say one last Hail Mary before we go. God bless you. See you on Friday, and let's pray in the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, nice and loud. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen, amen, amen.
I've got no regrets. I wouldn't change a single day. If I had